All right, let's get down to business in the Word of God. Let's get to the preaching of God's Word. Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter number 5 is where we want to be tonight for our Bible study. By the way, as you turn to Ephesians 5, I hope you've had a good week so far. I hope you've walked closely with the Lord and had a good relationship with Him throughout this week already. And hopefully tonight will be a blessing and a help to you in that. As we turn to Ephesians 5, we're going to focus starting on verse 22 tonight, but let me remind you of what this chapter tells us. Of course, you remember where chapter 5 fits in the book of Ephesians. The first three chapters talk to us all about what God has given us in spiritual blessings in Christ. Because we are in Christ, we have all spiritual blessings. Now, chapter 4 begins a new section of the book telling us now what we ought to do with all of those blessings that we have. Chapter 5 is really the chapter about walking, because it begins in the first 7 verses by telling us to walk in love. Verses 8 through 14 teach us to walk in light. And then verses 15 to 17, we learned to walk circumspectly. Verses 18 to 21 talk to us about being filled with the Holy Spirit. And what that taught us about is that when we are filled with the Holy Spirit, this is what we talked about last week, that will show itself in 4 ongoing actions. Remember, the first one was we will be speaking to ourselves, or in other words, amongst ourselves, in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Also, we will be singing and making melody in our heart to the Lord. That's part of and a result of being filled with the Holy Spirit. The next thing that we learned, being filled with the Holy Spirit, will result in the fact that we are in the habit of giving thanks always for all things. That will be a part of that. And then the last one, the least popular one, verse 21, tells us that when we are filled with the Holy Spirit, one of the ongoing actions will be that we will submit ourselves one to another. And that's what it says in verse 21 of Ephesians 5, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Now we start verse 22, a new section of this chapter where it tells us, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery. But I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband. This next section, which is basically what we just read right there, I would entitle this way. I would call it a spirit-controlled couple. Because when we're talking about being filled with the Holy Spirit and the 4 ongoing actions that we talked about, the last one being about submitting ourselves one to another, now, the Lord, through the Apostle Paul, gets very specific, and very specific in our homes. Because the interesting thing about our homes is our Christianity really is played out in our homes probably more than anywhere else. If we really want to know what our Christianity is all about, it'll play out in our home. And specifically, if we are married, within that marital relationship, a spirit-filling or a lack of spirit filling will show itself there probably more than any other place. Aren't you glad for marriage? It's a wonderful blessing. It's a great privilege. But I tell you what it also does for us is it really shows us where we're not as Christ-like as we ought to be. And that's a good thing. Because just as I was reminding somebody as I was doing a Bible study today, the book of Romans tells us the reason why God gave the law. Why did he give the law? So that the offense might abound. So that we could see our sin for what it is. So that our mouth would be closed before God. And we would have to say, God, I'm guilty. That's why the law came. Well, marriage is much like that, isn't it? It's easy for me to come and put on a show for you in church. And for you to think, wow, Pastor, he's really a good Christian. But then I get home, and how I deal with my wife really reveals whether or not your opinion of me, and I know you have that opinion of me, whether your opinion of me is right or not. You see, it plays out day to day in my home, doesn't it? And by the way, it does in yours as well. And marriage is one example. Of course, it works in other relationships too. But this specific area is talking about marriage. Let's pray and we'll get right to it. Dear Lord, I do thank you for the privilege, Lord, to be able to preach to your people tonight. Lord, even as we learned on Sunday night that it is my job to feed your flock. Lord, I ask that you would help me to feed your flock tonight. Lord, I want to give them the only food that is worthwhile to give them, your word. And I pray that you'd enable me to do that. Fill me with your spirit. Empty me of myself. Lord, it does not matter if the people think that I am a good pastor. It does not matter if they are liking me or not. It only matters, Lord, if you are pleased with it, if they're fed from your word. And Lord, I don't know how to make that happen, but I do ask that you would make it happen because I know that you know how. I pray that you would glorify your own name, humble me, let them think much of you and little of me in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so a spirit-controlled couple. The first part of this section on a spirit-controlled couple talks about the wife. Now, don't worry, ladies. Yes, you are first, but the encouraging thing is it's only three verses for you and it's several for the men, okay? So it evens out in the end. But the first part, talking about the wife, is verses 22 to 24. What does it look like for a wife to be spirit-controlled? Well, it says in verse 22, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. So the wife is told to submit to her husband. Now that word submit, by the way, kind of a dirty word in today's vernacular, isn't it? Especially among women in our culture, the idea that a woman should submit to her husband is just a terrible thought. But what does the word submit mean? Well, it means, basically, if I can put it in a nutshell, I would say it means to subordinate yourself to someone. In fact, that term, subordinate, or to subordinate, that verb, is a synonym of the word submit. It means voluntarily put yourself under the authority of another. And that's what the Bible says that the woman is to do. Notice that it says in verse number 22, wives, submit yourselves unto, and then what are those next three words? Your own husbands. May I remind you, ladies, to encourage you that it does not say that you are to submit to every man. It's not the way that it is. It's not what it says. It does not say that men are superior to women, therefore women ought never to talk in front of men, and they ought to be separate in the church and be like it was when my dad was a kid in the Lutheran church. The women sat on one side with the kids and the men were on the other side. We might get people to pay attention a little bit more that way, but we won't do it that way, all right? I promise you. But it's not that. It is this way, though, that when a lady gets married, let me say that again, when a lady gets married, God expects her then to subordinate herself under her husband. Now, ladies, if you don't like the idea of subordinating yourself to someone, there's a quick and easy answer. Don't get married. And it's kind of half tongue-in-cheek, but it's true. If you don't get married, then you're not called to subordinate yourself to every man. Then God does not expect you to go into a situation and have men always be telling you what to do. Now, you'll be under authority just as everybody else is, as in within the church realm. You're expected to submit to the church authority and obviously to policemen, obviously to the powers that be and all of that like everybody else is. But if you don't like the idea of submitting yourself to one man, then don't get married. It's really that simple. And actually, the Bible encourages you that if you are able to live a single life, and as I always try to emphasize to you, serve the Lord with that life, then you should. And again, not so that you could do your own thing, but so that you can serve the Lord with your single status, then do it. But if you want to get married, part of that getting married is submitting yourself to your own husband. It means subordinating yourself to them. It's the idea of Somebody has to be in charge, and just like in the military, you would submit in the military without regard to superior intellect, skill, or age. Many of you spent time in the military, and you understand that sometimes the superior officer is of a lower intellect. In fact, every private thinks that they know more than the general, I would imagine. Never in the military, but I can just guess. I know human nature enough to know, right? That general, if I was in his position, boy, we would have won the war already, right? We all have a tendency to play that game. But it's the truth of the matter. You might have somebody, for instance, who is a lieutenant, who has more wisdom, skill, ability than somebody who is over him or her. You might even have a situation where somebody who is a lower rank would have a more experience and age than somebody else who is of a higher rank. And yet, if the military is going to work the way that it should, then the junior officer is to subordinate himself or herself to the senior officer every time. And if you don't have that, what do you have? You have anarchy. And by the way, you will lose a war that way. Now, wait a minute. It's the same in the Christian home. It's not that the husband has superior intellect or skill or ability, although he might. But it doesn't matter. The wife is to submit herself or subordinate herself to the husband. Now, a wise general will hear the advice of the commanders who are on the ground. A wise general will go and visit the battlefield every once in a while, maybe come toward the front lines and talk to the lieutenants who are in the foxholes with the privates and all the rest and leading the platoons, and talk to them and say, tell me about it. What's it like? What do you need? What can I do to improve your situation? Can you tell me, what do you know about the enemy? What have you seen? Have you noticed any tactics? A wise general will ask his inferior or lower officers for advice. You know, a good husband will do the same, but whether or not he does, wife, God has called on you, spirit-filled, to subordinate yourself. Today, I was looking for illustrations. I don't always do that, but I was looking online for illustrations, and all I could find was jokes. And I'm sorry about that, but I'm not a pastor who likes to tell a lot of jokes from the pulpit, but I saw a couple that I wanted to share with you tonight. And talking about subordinates and all of that, and high-ranking officers and low-ranking officers, I saw this one story about there was a tea given for officers and their wives. So the commanding general of a base delivered a seemingly endless oration. A young lieutenant grumbled to the woman sitting beside him and said, "What a pompous and unbearable old windbag that slob is," speaking of the general. The woman turned to him, her face red with rage, and said, "Excuse me, lieutenant, do you have any idea who I am?" He said, "No, ma'am," as he fumbled through his words. She said, "I am the wife of that man that you just called an unbearable old windbag." "Oh," said the lieutenant, "and do you have any idea who I am?" "No," said the general's wife, and he said, "Good." And he got up from his seat and disappeared into the crowd. So it is wise to subordinate yourself, right? But do it the right way, okay? I thought that is sometimes how we are, aren't we? But listen, just as in the military, whether or not the general is a pompous old windbag or not, right? A wise lieutenant will submit himself. Why? Because that's the way it has to go. It has to go that way. And that private or that lieutenant is assuming that if the general is not up to the task, that the commander-in-chief hopefully will have the wisdom to replace that general. Well, listen, just like that, wives, you have to trust in God that if your husband is not what he ought to be, not that God will replace him, but that God will replace his wisdom with some real wisdom. And you've got to trust the Lord for that. And you've got to trust the Lord, just trusting him that he will work things out. Notice it even says that to some extent in Ephesians 5. Look at the verse where it says, "Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord." Notice that you are to submit as unto the Lord, as if you were submitting to the Lord. And why are you to submit that way, wives? Because that's exactly what you're doing. As you submit to your husband, you're submitting to the Lord because he is the ultimate authority. And by the way, it works that way with all authority, doesn't it? When we deal with civil authorities, why should we submit to them? because God gave them authority. Now, again, if they overstep their bounds, if they do something they shouldn't do, we're not to obey in such a way that causes us to disobey God. But as long as it doesn't require us to disobey God, we should submit to them. Why? Because as we do so, we are submitting to the Lord. And wives, it is that way in your home. As you submit to your husband, you are submitting unto the Lord. The next time that he asks you to do something or says, sweetheart, this is the way we need to go, this is what we need to do, remind yourself, before you answer, remind yourself this. How I respond to him is how I'm responding to the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who loves me, the one who gave himself for me. As I respond to him, I'm actually responding to Jesus, because that's what the Bible says. It then goes on to say the husband is the head of the wife, just as Christ is the head of the church, and he is also the Savior of the body. That's what we are told. Jesus is the Savior of the body. And just as he is the Savior of the body and the head of the wife, so the head of the church, the husband is in just that same way, the head of the wife. In other words, what does the head do? The head makes the decision, the head sets the direction, the head leads. And wives, let me encourage you. If I could put it to you this way, when we talk about submitting yourself and subordinating yourself, I want you to understand that really what God is asking you to do is let your husband take the lead. Let him lead. He may not be all that you want him to be. I don't know of any husband who is. I know it may be tempting to look around and say, well, you know, sister so-and-so is married to such and such a man, and I'm sure that he leads in a good way. And if I were married to somebody like that, it'd probably be easier to follow. But I want you to understand, it's not that way. That wife who's married to that husband struggles just like you do. Maybe not in the same areas, but still struggles. Because he's going to make mistakes, he's going to do things that he shouldn't do, et cetera, et cetera. But let me encourage you, let him take the lead. One of the most dangerous things for wives to do, and one of the most common mistakes that wives make, is they let their husband have a facade of being the leader, but behind the scenes, they're really trying to manipulate him or in one way or another. And what that ends up doing, listen, what that ends up doing with any man who's worth his salt, is it breeds bitterness in him. Because what he ends up feeling like is that he's being treated as a boy. And ladies, if you ever find yourself in a situation where it even occurs to you, you know what, I'm treating my husband as if he were a boy, stop. Back up. Maybe even apologize. And just keep quiet. And let him lead. Because he will be bitter, he'll be angry. And before you know it, that bitterness will build up and he'll lash out in ways you don't want him to. And sometimes if in a leadership situation, if you find your husband getting kind of snappy and irritable with you when there's maybe a little bit of stress, not a guarantee, but it could be just a thought. Here's something to consider. It could be that you're manipulating from the back. And that's his response because he knows he's not really being given the leadership. And every man knows he should have that. And when he's not getting it, he's going to have a tendency to snap and be resentful. So ladies, just a word of encouragement. Let your husband lead. Subordinate yourself. What do you want to do, sweetheart? If you want to ask me advice, I'll give advice. But I'm going to follow you. You lead the way. Let me give you another joke to lighten your mood, all right? A married couple had a quarrel and ended up giving each other the silent treatment. I saved this one for the part about the wives, because wives are good at silent treatment. It's okay to say amen there, guys, by the way. 2 days into their mute argument, the man realized that he needed his wife's help. In order to catch a flight to Chicago for a business meeting, he had to get up at 5 a.m. So not wanting to be the first to break the silence, he wrote on a piece of paper, "Please wake me up at 5 a.m.
So the next morning, the man woke up only to discover his wife was already out of bed. It was 9 a.m. and his flight had long since departed. He was about to find his wife and demand an answer for her failings when he noticed a piece of paper by the bed and it said, "It's 5 a.m., wake up." I thought that was pretty good. That sounds like something a wife would do, doesn't it? Boy, those wives, I tell ya. Always doing something smart, Alec. I thought that was actually pretty good, though. But wives, you are to submit, right? Just as the church is subject to Christ in everything. Notice that's what it says in verse number 23. Let's see here, 24, I'm sorry. "Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything." Now, why is this so important? Why is it so important that the wives submit themselves to their husbands? Let me say this first of all, because it is a picture of Christ and the church. Look at the end of the chapter here, 32 and 33. "This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband." Why is it important? Because it is a picture of Christ and the church. And ladies, when you fail to submit or subordinate yourself to your husband, when you're not subject to him, then what you're doing is you're picturing something that is not the way God wants it to be. God does not want the church manipulating him or taking the lead. God wants the church allowing him to lead. And it's a picture. And by the way, pictures are important to God. Have you figured that out? You know, here's something interesting that another pastor pointed out to me one time in the Old Testament. Have you ever noticed how sometimes in the Old Testament, like under Moses' time, God would bring a judgment down really harsh on somebody? Like, for instance, Achan. Or you remember the man who was picking up sticks on the Sabbath day and God said he's to be killed? Another pastor pointed this out to me. Every time God comes down hard and demands the life of somebody, it was because they destroyed one of his pictures. They destroyed one of his illustrations. And God said, "Nope, can't have it." They lose their life. Those things are important to God. They may not seem like they're important to you and me, but they're important to him. Can you see why God wants wives to submit to the husband? But my husband's not. It doesn't matter. Submit yourself. And again, if you can't handle that, ladies, young ladies, don't get married. Don't worry, I wouldn't want to submit to one of my sex either. A man. I wouldn't want to do it either. So then serve the Lord single and give the Lord your heart. Submit to him. He's a much better husband, by the way, than any man will ever be. But if you want to get married, then you need to submit. What's another reason why it's so important? Because God is a God of order, and he set it up that way. 1 Timothy chapter number 2. 1 Timothy chapter number 2, because God is a God of order and he set it up that way. 1 Timothy chapter number 2, verse 11. "Let the woman learn in silence with all subjection." By the way, whenever you read in Timothy or in any of those, and it says, "Let the woman," it's not talking about any woman, it's talking about a woman who's married, okay? So it's in the context of a husband-wife. "Let the woman learn in silence with all subjection, but I suffer not a woman to teach, nor to usurp authority over the man," in other words, her husband, "but to be in silence. For Adam was first formed, then Eve. And Adam was not deceived, but the woman being deceived was in the transgression. Notwithstanding, she shall be saved in childbearing, if they continue in faith and charity and holiness with sobriety." God set it up that way. And he said, "Listen, I created Adam first, then Eve. Therefore, in a marital situation, in church, wives, be in subjection. Let your husband be the one to do the talking." Wow, that's unpopular, isn't it? But that's what God said. And also, it's important because of the way God created us. We'll kind of go through this and then stop here, and I'll let the ladies go. But God created us a certain way. I know it's news to the liberal crowd in Madison, but God created men and women very different. And by the way, we're all glad about that, aren't we? I'm glad that God created women. I'm glad especially that God created one specific woman, my wife, because she adds so much to my life that, listen, I wouldn't want to live, be married to a mirror image of me. Gross, right? Number one. Number two, smelly, right? Number three, there's so much that my wife adds to my life that I would miss out. I'm glad God made her different. She adds beauty. She adds a new dimension to everything. She brings joy into every situation. I tell her, she's home with Rachel tonight, and I tell her, listen, I hate it when she doesn't come to church with me. And I say, it's not that I need you here. It's not like I have to have you here. But I miss you when you're not here. Something is missing when you're not with me. But that's the way God made us. And hopefully, she feels the same way. But here's the interesting thing. God created Eve to be Adam's help that was meet for him. Not to rule over him, but to be a help for him. That's the way God created her. Ladies, that's why you are in the relationship, in the marriage. You are created to be a help. Stop fighting against what God made you to be and embrace it. Not only that, but she was created from Adam, according to Genesis 2, and was named after him. When Adam named her, he said, she'll be called woman because she was taken out of man. Everything about her was based on her relationship to her husband. And that's the way God made it. If you want to get mad at God and good luck. But also, she was created to need his protection. 1 Peter 3 talks about giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel. God created women different than men. And the simple fact of the matter is, she needs the man's protection. One of the most beautiful things about marriage that this world has yet to grasp in our modern day with all of its wisdom, quote unquote, is how marriage is the best thing that could ever happen to women in general. Because if we had no marriage and it was every man and woman for themselves, who would rise to the top every single time? The men. So you know what God did? He provided marriage so that men would have a reason and a motivation to care for, to love, to create a home for, to give protection to a woman. You see, if my wife didn't have me and she lived in this world and didn't have a dad, didn't have any other man to take care of her, she couldn't go anywhere in a dangerous situation. But now she lives in relative security because God gave her a man to protect her. Not only that, but to care for her, to lift heavy objects for her, to do all the things around the house that she can't do. And by the way, it works the other way, right? God made it beautiful. So ladies, that's why it's important. And I want to encourage you to submit yourself to your husband. One last joke, and we'll let you go. A husband and wife were at a party chatting with some friends when the subject of marriage counseling came up. "Oh, well, we never need that," said the man. "My wife and I have a great relationship." And the husband went on to explain, as all of the friends were in wonder. "You see, in college, she was a communications major, and I majored in theater arts. She communicates well, and I act like I'm listening." So that is what marriage is often like, isn't it? So hopefully we are not that way. But wives, submit yourselves unto your husbands as unto the Lord. It is a result of being filled with the Holy Spirit. Let's pray, and we'll let the ladies go.